News and how to use it. What to believe in a fake news world. Written by Alan Rusbridger and read by Piers Hampton. There have always been those who believe in the big tent theory of journalism. It's a rough old trade, and we stand and fall together. Always has been, always will be. Part of me believes some of that. Part of me embraces the messiness of what journalists do, its untidy edges and its irrepressible knack for reinvention and resilience. But the problem today is an existential one. Sometimes British journalism, in particular, feels like a knowing joke. If you're on the inside, it's humourless and disloyal to let the side down, and a bit, you know, boring and woke. But professional producers of news are now in a fight for survival, and in competition with many others who don't see it all as an in-joke. How can we explain why it deserves to survive, as obviously I think the best of journalism does? A good newsroom is, in an age of information chaos, as essential as the police force, the hospital, the fire station, or the prison, I think. How can we expect an outsider to understand all this? I have written in these pages about techniques, about transparency, or lack of it, about the people who own the press and how their influence works. I have written about some of the most celebrated practitioners of journalism and realize that, even after days looking into some of their work, I still have no measure of how much they should be trusted. If that's true of me, having worked in this imperfect trade for 40 years or more, how can we possibly expect an average reader to navigate this maze? Pick a brand rather than an individual journalist? But we have seen all too clearly how institutions change. Titles that were once incorruptible, or at least honestly campaigning, The Telegraph, The Express, The News of the World come to mind, can mutate into organisations that are ethically and editorially challenged. Why, at their worst, would anyone single them out for trust? And then there are things that, as I've come to write this book, I find myself unable to explain. I can't see why an industry that is fighting for trust and credibility would knowingly employ columnists who, for instance, are ignorant of the truth of climate change. Why would you do that? If journalism is trying to persuade sceptical readers that they are the safe harbour of truth, why would they handsomely reward people for writing rubbish? We have seen in recent years some high-profile failings of journalism. The phone hacking scandal springs first to mind. It is also true that there is now more deliberate misinformation put out into the world than ever before, often politically motivated. Sometimes who owns a media business can influence the objectivity or otherwise of the journalism it creates. And rarely is a paper all good or all bad. So it's hard to write a book with a simple message about journalism and why it should be trusted. Much of it should. Quite a lot shouldn't. But it is, as they say, complicated. We need to keep our wits about us as we consume all forms of modern messaging. A sceptical reader is a good reader. And journalists need to look into the mirror a bit more and try to see themselves as others see them. The best of journalism will thrive. Maybe it needed a pandemic to wake us up to its importance.